the question's like this. What is the rule of goals and happiness? In other words, will achieving our goals in life make us happier? And what is it? Is it important to have goals in order to be happy from a Torah and psychological perspective? And I think there's a surprising twist which a lot of people don't know. And it really changes everything on this question. So what do you think?
So that's your question, huh?
My question is, what is the role of goals in achieving our happiness? What do you think off the bat?
Okay, so from a non-Torah point of view, I would say goals are important to achieve because it gives you purpose. It gives you that fulfillment of achieving something, of completing something, all that blah, blah, blah of the non-Torah stuff, you know, which is important. So you feel like you've accomplished stuff. So it gives you it's like an upper, you know, it's like and it gives you purpose in life. So if you set goals, which I don't necessarily do, but then you know in what direction you're going to.
Excellent.
So that's what I think out of a non-Torah
point. And from a Torah perspective?
From a Torah perspective, I don't see that importance in it. There, I would say, doing mitzvah, allowing Hashem to lead you.
But aren't mitzvot goals? In other words, aren't they just like the points along the way that you need to pick up, those little golden coins? You know, like
those
are goals.
They are, but they're more immediate goals. It's not like a five year plan.
Okay.
I'm going to be there, and that's my goal. I want to be head of this department, and I want to have my own house in 10 years time, and I have family and kids and so on. You know, that's not. Uh-huh. I see that more as worldly type of thing. Well, that's what you can do now and now.
Right.
And now,
yeah, so when I said goals, you heard me say long-term goals.
Yes. Okay.
And what I meant actually was both.
Okay.
I also mean long-term goals, but I also mean short-term daily goals.
Okay.
And I'm asking in general, with all goals, when we achieve them, do we become happier? So I heard your answer. I think your answer is correct. And we're going to get there. That from a secular perspective, yes. And from a Torah perspective, you view it more as the day-to-day things. Day-to-day goals.
Yes.
Which is what the Torah gives us. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is going to be the three parts of the shiur. Part one is, from a Torah perspective,
okay,
the crucial importance of having goals, in my, okay, my opinion. Obviously, I cite the sources, which makes sense to me. Then we'll talk about that. And then I want to talk about maybe the most surprising part two, which is how achieving our goals will not necessarily make us happier.
Okay.
And then part three, then what is the goal of goals? And what is the point of goals? How can having goals help us be happier?
How can you assure that?
How can we use goals in the way that they're actually meant to be used?
Okay.
Okay. So.
Because it's not a guaranteed way to happiness.
Yes, and there's an unintuitive thing. We're trained as children, naturally, and as our economy, for it to function, there are goals in life. You want to get a good, successful job. You want to have a successful wife. You want to win the championship. You want to get the gold. And it's drilled into us this concept that the more successful you are at achieving your goals, and I mean from a Torah perspective too, you want to be a Talmud Chacham, you want to succeed in Avodas Hashem, you want to have an amazing tefillah. It's kind of drilled into us, as it should be, that if you achieve your goals, you'll be a more happy and better person. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a little bit of a lie in that, and that's what I want to talk about.
So the biggest lie I see in that is the worldly one, the first one of getting all of these things, is a lot of time it makes you it causes you to be busy with stuff that keeps you away from Torah.
Right.
So you have to be the best in your career, you have to be, you know, all those type of things, and all of those things keep you away from, takes up your time.
Like it says in Pirkei Avos, Marbe nechasim, marbe da'aga. The more stuff you have, the more worries you have.
Yes.
As is a big, there's a big movement nowadays called minimalism.
Yes. Right?
It's all about,
I'm all for it,
getting rid of all the extra stuff and just like focusing on the simple.
And have a simple, simple life.
I'm also all for it, and I'm trying to work on slowly, slowly getting more towards that. But
So from that's the difference. You know, they will throw activities at you, and you must be the best at all of them, as long as you don't have time at the end of the day to.
Right, so that's a Yitzhahara's trick.
Yes, it's a very clever trick. And there will be some happiness to achieving some of these things, because otherwise it would not have worked for so long.
Of course.
So it's artificial happiness and achieving, and that's why I say out of a worldly point of view. Yes, Torah point of view, there's goals and so on, but they are different. They are deeper. They are self-evolving goals within the lines of Torah and those type of things, you know. So it's vastly different.
So if I were to sum up your initial guess and perspective, you would say it depends on what the goals are. Meaning, if your goals are good goals, then like Torah goals, then it will help you achieve happiness. But if your goals are not really good for you, you know, materialistic goals, for example,
and they might look good to the world,
and they'll give you short-term happiness, but not long-term joy. Okay. So I think your perspective is true, and it's kind of the classic sheer. And I want to go a step beyond with one more nuance. And the reason I say that is only because I only share things which I find interesting, which is things that I didn't hear, that I myself didn't know yet.
Yes.
Right? Or else I'd be a boring rabbi. Just say what everyone already knows already.
Yeah.
So when I find something different, I'm like, oh, I never thought about that like that. So that's what I teach. If it's just the thing that everyone already knows already, then I focus on it a little less. So Bezrat Hashem, we'll get to all of these points, which are true.
Okay.
So the first makor that came to my mind when I was thinking of the importance of goals from a Torah perspective is the Mesilas Yesharim in his first chapter. Moshe Chaim Lutzato, who writes the path of the just and the steps, kind of goals, step by step by step by step by step, in order to become a real true Eved Hashem. He actually was one of the first books ever written kind of like that, where it's like, you know, step one, step two, step three. It's not just like a bunch of different mitzvos and like, it's like building.
Something that's really achievable.
Mm-hmm. Or it has like a structure towards it and with goals. And that's actually what made it so groundbreaking and one of the reasons why the Musar movement adopted the Mesilas Yesharim.
And it's measurable as well, because you can tick them off.
He explains very clearly like what, you know, what it is. I wouldn't say it's easy, but...
No, but it's defined.
It's defined.
It's well defined. It's measurable. It's attainable, although it's difficult. And you can see how you progress in that. So
there are like workshops. There are workshops like based on Mesilas Yesharim. Okay, this week we'll work on this, and it would be great. I'd love at one point in my life to like do that. And therefore it makes a lot of sense. He starts off chapter one like this: Yesod haChesidut veShorash Avoda Atmima Hi Shitbarer Vitamet Etz Adam Mau Chuvato BaOlamo. The beginning of everything, the beginning every day, and the beginning of all service of God starts the following question: why? What is my obligation in this world? What should I be looking at? What is my purpose all the days of my life? What is the goal? You can't just start off and say, okay, do Torah. No, why am I doing Torah mitzvahs? What is the goal of all my Torah mitzvahs? What is the goal of my life? Why am I here in the universe? What's my purpose? He then goes on to say that the general overarching purpose is dvekut, attachment to God. which, by the way, nothing's coincidental. I just didn't think of this. That's the book that I wanted to learn with you, B'lavav Mishkan Evne. And that's what he's constantly talking about. How to remind ourselves to be in a state of attachment to God, of Dvikus, and how every mitzvah we do is meant to bring us to the state of connectedness, of feeling connected to God. Okay, but I'm less, in this particular year, focused on Dvikus, and then like his definition of the purpose of life, and more just wanted to point out that he believes that the first thing that you need to think about is, what's the goal? What's the purpose? And that's very intuitive. In fact, Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes, Shimshon Pinkus is an amazing author. We should learn his Sfarim together. He has a book called Shabbos Kodesh, which I love, and this author, I'm going to learn it one of these days. But he used to compare it to the following situation. Imagine you're going on a road trip, and you pull over to the side of the road, and you go over to someone and say, "Can you help me out here? I'm a little lost." I said, "Sure. Where are you heading to?" And the guy says, "I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. Can you help me get there?"
Any road.
The guy would just look at you funny and be like, "Uh-huh. Okay." In other words, and that it sounds hilarious, but it's unfortunately the situation so many people are in life, where they're just wandering around and they're not sure what they're here for. What's my goal? What's my purpose? Why am I in the? Why did God put me into this universe? Is there a God? And thank God, it's one of the most amazing things I find about religion.
It gives
me that purpose. It gives me that clarity. It gives me that goal, because we human beings we need to work on something. That's what we're here for. You know, a spoon needs to eat food, and a radio needs to make music, and we need to have goals, or we're gonna go crazy. And of course, people make up goals, artificial goals, but you don't have the clarity that that's really why you're here in the universe, then it doesn't feel satisfying. If you know you just made up, "Oh, I want to be a nice person. But I made that up."
And how do you define a nice person?
Exactly.
Everybody wants to be a nice person.
Right.
But a cannibalist in Africa also wants to be a nice person, you know.
He just defines nice a little differently.
He eats other people.
Exactly.
So that's somebody who says that, you know. It's
right, and that's one of the most amazing things I find. I think people who bash religion, they're totally off base on this issue, because it's just the way we're programmed. We human beings need a mission. And need a goal, and it's as long as we know that it's just a human made goal, it's less satisfying, and we go back and forth about it.
But if we
believe firmly that this is the goal and God wants me to do this goal, then we can live a happier life. Now, that's not to say that there aren't secular people who also are convinced that this is the goal of their life. For sure, a person can come to a clarity that this is what I stand for. You know, I believe in, I don't know.
I'm going to say that
I'm the Savarian part, exactly, and that's my goal, and I feel passionately about that. And then a person can pursue that goal and feel happy on. For sure, that happens all the time. But I think religion is also a great source of that, of happiness, because it gives us goals, so we're not wandering around.
And it's higher goals.
Yes.
It
goals that we know are from God, and therefore it gives us even more motivation to do it. In fact, the B'lavav Mishkan Evne, Rav Yisrael Schwartz, a book, Sefer we're going to learn, writes a beautiful line. He says, "At the time that a person remembers the purposes of life, that is the time that he is truly alive. At any other time, when you're not remembering the purpose of your life, you're not truly alive."
Because then you don't have a reason for existing.
Right. And you're just on autopilot. But to be alive, in his definition, is to be connected to your purpose. And when you're feeling like, "I'm a Jew and I'm doing my purpose in life," or not a Jew, but "I'm doing my purpose in life," then I feel alive. That's the definition of life. I found that to be a very powerful way of putting it. A little similarly, Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch writes that he was very big into Shoreshim. Shoreshim Rav Hirsch, of course, was a German rabbi, 19th century. And he had this interesting theory that letter words in the Torah, which have the same, two of the letters are the same, have some sort of connection. Not just a three-letter root, but a two-letter root. That's one of his insights he's always talking about in his commentary. So one of his insights is he says, Simcha equals Tzmicha. Simcha is joy.
Yes,
sir. Tzmicha means growth.
Growth, okay.
So how do you get joy?
Through growth.
Through growth. Through growth towards a goal. Okay. If you don't have growth towards a goal, you're not really going to be happy. That's the essence of happiness. And Viktor Frankl would agree. Viktor Frankl is the founder of logotherapy. And his whole chidush for mankind was that there were people in the Holocaust who had no joy, but had meaning, had purpose. And they were the people, like himself, were able to survive because they found meaning in life, which is what man craves ultimately, even more than, good vibes, is to have purpose, to have meaning, to have a goal.
That's the opposite of depression, when people feel that.
Exactly.
There's no purpose.
What's it all about? Yeah, the confusion. But what's my goal? What's my purpose? So, that's what logotherapy is all about. And I think he's absolutely right. And that's also why I think it's really good that we have this tradition of Pirkei Avos, which teaches us, like it says in Perek Bet Pasuk Mishnah Tetvav, "V'tarfon Omer Ayom Katzar V'Amlacha Merubah." The day is short, and the work is great. Okay? Meaning to say, this life is short. This day is short.
There's lots of work.
There's a lot to do. Some people get freaked out by that. Oh, Judaism is always telling me to do this, telling me to do that. I can't just chill. I can't just be myself. Okay, I hear that. If you view the law as outside of yourself, as someone trying to put something upon you.
Yeah.
But once you've embraced the Torah way of life, then it's great to have a lot to do. Because you always are motivated, you always have a goal. You always have something pushing you forward. And that's the famous song in Pirkei Avos, the very next Mishnah. Huay Omer, Reb Tarfon says, Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor, v'lo ata ben chorin hibatel mimena. Which means, it's not upon you to finish the work, but you're not free to do nothing about it.
You must play your part.
You must play. You can't finish it.
No.
But the goal is not to finish it, to bring the Mashiach necessarily. The goal is to play your role. And have you have your meaningful goals and yours play a role in doing your best. Gavat. So those are the first, people criticize the Mesilas Yesharim and others who talk about how the goal of this world is to get to the next world. And they say, listen, that's so depressing. Don't you value this world? Don't you value, doesn't this world also have meaning? Why is it only about the next world? I think there's more to that, for sure. But the way I understand it is, no, knowing that it's for the next world gives this world meaning.
Of course. Yeah, otherwise, and that's why specifically we as Jews don't isolate ourselves, sit like monks somewhere in a place and, don't mingle and meditate the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
We are involved in the world, in tikkun, and those type of things. Because Hashem has also given us the commandments to live through them, and live by
and
them.
And lift it up for the next world. It's interesting what you're saying. If it was only about this world, then I might be a monk. Maybe I just meditate and make the best, enjoy it while I can, and breathe and be happy. But we can't because we have a goal, which is to make the world a better place through Torah and mitzvahs. And that actually gives us purpose and meaning and joy. It's not just about this world. There's a greater, deeper meaning beyond just this moment, which will ultimately uplift this moment. Okay? So Ad Kan, for the Torah perspective, if I, I give you a classic shiur right now, I tell you, Torah and mitzvahs, Judaism gives us a purpose, gives us a goal. The mitzvahs are the goals on the day-to-day. You also have your individual purpose, your shlichus, and thank God we have goals and missions and meaning in life. Great. But I think it's a little bit more complicated.
Okay,
than that.
Gotta throw a spin.
And so, the question's like this. Who is happier? A lotto winner or a paraplegic? Someone who just won the lottery?
Yeah.
Who's going to have a... Or someone who just a few months ago you won the lottery, and just a few months ago you lost all of your body parts and can hardly move. Who's going to be a happier person? Who would you guess?
The lotto winner.
Most people would probably say the lotto winner, right? Yeah. And yet, surprisingly,
yes.
Philip Brickman did a study, he's a psychologist, and he found that ultimately they both go back to about the same level of happiness. In other words,
after the event.
After the event.
So, say 6 months after the
event. Yes. They're back to their initial levels of happiness.
So, the lotto winner has got that initial happiness and all those stuff, and the other guy has got that initial depression,
sure.
and why did it happen, and now he's asking millions of questions. But once they've come out of that, they return to the baseline.
Exactly. We all naturally go back to our baselines. We are resilient, both for up and down, and there's a spike, but it doesn't last.
Up or down, but
up or down. Now, these are big spikes, you know.
Yeah.
Lotto and paraplegic.
Because you gave two very...
To make the point. But even in the little... There are little spikes in life. And we tend to convince ourselves that the spikes, if we just keep spiking, and then that's happiness. Really, all it is a spike. It's an up and down, up and down,
so
up and down.
How do we change the trend line so it goes up?
So we'll get back. So that's part three. So, but let's just stick in part two for a second. Because this is an important point to drill in within us. So... Let me give you another example. Maybe also a little dramatic. Maurice Brickham was 78 years old, and he got out of jail.
Okay.
He'd spent 37 years in the Louisiana State Penitentiary for a crime he did not commit.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
That's a bummer, right? You think he's not going to be so happy. What did he have to say about this experience? This is what he said. I don't have 1 minute to regret. It was a glorious experience. A glorious experience. A wonderful thing.
Maybe that I don't have any regret because he made peace to have been, but whether it was a joyous...
But he believed it was glorious.
Really?
And no regrets. That's what he said. That's what he said. I'll give you another example. Pete Best. Who's Pete Best? He was a drummer for the Beatles.
Okay.
Until... They picked up Ringo on a tour and left him. So in 1994, they asked Pete Best, what would you rather, would you have lived a better life as a Beatle? And he said, I'm happier now than I would have been with the Beatles. Okay. So in other words, if you want to be happy, go to prison for 37 years, be part of the Beatles, and then get dropped. Okay. And I can tell you on and on and on of stories of people who seemed to have the worst things possible happen to them and said it was amazing. It was wonderful.
If you look at most well-known people, I'm talking about secular pop stars and all that type of thing, most of them had a horrendous child life.
Yeah.
Divorce and rebellion and alcohol abuse and drug abuse, and they all come from broken homes.
Right.
And it's normally that experience that toughens somebody up to stand,
or motivates them.
Motivates
to go.
But while your general run of the mill, happy childhood and so on, very
they're
mellow.
Okay. They're mellow. They don't need.
Yeah, they go through right. life like that. Yeah.
And of course, we're speaking in generalizations now. It's not true with every person, but unfortunately, what often happens then is so these people are very motivated to be famous and successful. So they go through really, really a lot of hard work. They attain that success. They're an amazing actress. And then the down hits.
They crash.
Why? Because they had put in their head that this is going to give them happiness finally. But it doesn't. It actually just gives them the spike. And then they go back.
Money, but don't buy your love.
And then that's why they go into alcoholism and drugs, because they're searching for ways to get that high that they thought they were going to get by being famous.
Because they never had it as a child, So they want to compensate for that. And once they get there, they realize, this isn't what I thought it's going to be.
Right.
And then they...
Definitely.
That happens. But it's a worldly... They went on to a worldly high, an artificial goal that they attained. Wow, bravo for them, putting all the energy and motivation and everything. But at the end of the day, it wasn't a Torah goal. It wasn't a Hashem-given goal. And that's why...
It doesn't last.
Stem.
Right. They don't feel truly alive. So... What we're talking about now is something that Dan Gilbert talks about, also an excellent TED Talk, really funny, which I'm basing this idea off of. He's a Harvard psychologist. I'm happy to send you the link if you want. But he says like this, and also I'm basing this a lot on Tal Shachar's book, Happier, who introduced me to this idea. What this teaches us is that we are very poor at predicting our future emotional states. We think that when we get that new house, or that promotion, or that wife, we are going to be happy forever.
We think that. Yes.
And what really happens is we have a temporary spike, bloop, and then we go back to our regular self. And similarly, on the other hand, even more, I think, we think that if we get fired from our job, or our girlfriend dumps us, or we lose whatever, that
it'll be the end,
it's going to be the worst thing possible. And really, we're great. Most people are great at getting back on their butts and getting back up again. We are much more resilient than we think we are. Our brain knows how to get up again. So that's a very important thing to know about ourselves.
It's true. I mean, we can get a lot of examples of that. It's not that easy when you're in it, but it's true. It is true. Yeah. Because you just have to cope. You just have to get through it.
And of course, different people are different. There's some people who are great at getting back up again, and other people have a harder time, and you can learn it also. A lot of times when you go through a really hard time and you get up again.
We're talking the next, general, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking...
I think, once you've experienced a really big low, the next time you experience a low, you can deal better with it. But in general.
Yes. I agree.
So that's very important to be aware of. The way that Gilbert explains it, he calls it a psychological immune system.
Okay, yeah.
And actually, you know when it works best? We were talking about this earlier. When we have no choice.
Yes.
When... And he said, that's the difference between dating and marriage. You're on a date and he picks his nose. You're not going on a date with that guy. You're married and he picks his nose. Okay, he's got a heart of gold. Don't touch the fruitcake. You know... Once we're stuck with something, we make our do with it. What are you going to do? Okay. Once we're not sure, we can go back and forth, and we're not stuck, but we have options, then we're asking ourselves constantly, did I make the wrong choice? Did I make the right choice? We're driving ourselves crazy. The grass is greener on the other side. As long as it's in our vision, you know, like it bothers us. I think part of the reason why the Facebook culture... Well, you always know about the 14 events which are happening around you can be very unhealthy, because I'm finding like I'm comparing the thing I did versus the other event I could have been, and I'm not able to just be present and enjoy where I'm at.
Fear of losing out.
Fear of missing out.
Missing out.
Whereas if I'm just here, I'm in my house.
Yes.
That's it. There's nothing going on. That's one of the main things about Shabbos. That's it. Then, like, I can be present and be happy and not worry about it.
That's why you often hear of these sages that when they get into the guy's room, he's got a little bed there, he's got a little table with a light, and that's it. He doesn't even know what a shop looks like inside. His wife goes to the shop. Yeah, exactly. Come back, you know, and he's as happy as can be.
Right. It's beautiful. I've heard Steve Jobs, like, wears the same clothing every day. Doesn't want to think about it. And I personally actually have a like a striving in terms of food.
Just the same thing every day.
Having the same set food, whatever the healthy, you know, have that meal, enjoy it, know what's coming, and that's it.
I kind of like, my wife is all against it, but I like Mondays is soup and bread.
Yeah.
Tuesdays is fish and that. You know, so I almost look forward to it. Ah, tonight this is that.
Right.
She hates that.
Right.
She.
No, once in a while I also like the diversity. But that's how the less choices, I can just look forward to it and enjoy it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you know, kind of.
Yeah. So we agree. All right, so we went a little bit off topic, but let's just to get us back, to veer us back, because this is the main point. So we said point one is it's great to have goals. Point two is goals don't actually make you happy, because you achieve your goal, and it could be even a mitzvah goal, not just talking about secular goals. You wanted to finish Masechet. You wanted to finish Shas. You learn. You do the Siyum. It's great. Then what? Did your happiness level go up 3 million times? No.
Stay up?
No. It went up. And then you get Hajr Nalach. Let's go back into it again. Right? It didn't make you happy. It gave you a temporary spike. Goals do not make you happy. We don't have to tell everyone. Shh. Let people think, because then they'll be more motivated. But they won't. They won't make you happy. Okay? They'll only boost you a little bit. So then what? Should we give up on goals and just go to the beach and hang out all day because we don't need goals? So no. Here's the niche. It's not... We don't need to achieve our goals to be happy. The achievement of the goal will not make you happy. But it's having goals that are exciting, that you're working towards, which will slowly move you on the path of constantly growing in a happy way. That's the key to life. It's not about achieving the goals per se. Of course we want to achieve the goals, but that won't make you happy. What will make you happy is always having goals which motivate you. Because then you have something to look forward to, something you're working to, and as you're working towards it, you should be enjoying it. I'll give a mushroom. You go on a road trip and you have no goal. You don't know where you're traveling to. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be able to enjoy the beautiful, you know, green, because your whole time you're worried about how do I get there? How do I get to my goal? Where are we going? I don't know. GPS, right? Whereas if you know where you're going and you know how to get there and you're excited about it, then you can just be like, okay, I'm going to Disneyland, and you can enjoy the destination. So having the goal and knowing how to get there will allow you to be in the moment and be present. Right? You need to have the purpose, but it's not about the achievement of the goal. And the best way to see this for me is sports. But also people are going on hikes. For me, when I'm playing Frisbee, I'm in heaven. I'm loving it. Right? Now, does it matter if I win the championship or not win the championship? A little bit, but not really. It'll give me that temporary spike when I get the touchdown and I'll win the championship and then go back to life. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that I have the game in the first place to motivate me to run around like a maniac and enjoy that game. It's not about winning, it's about having the goals that you find meaningful to constantly push you forward in life. Okay.
Yes.
You got it? Yeah. That's the thing that people don't know. Maybe it's good that people don't know. But in a way, it's very important to tell people this, to have us understand this. I'll tell you why. Because sometimes people get so obsessed with the goal that they're trying to achieve. And they don't realize that the goal is the means. The goal is not the goal. The goal is meant to get you towards happiness, to motivate you to do so that you get happiness. But if instead of being happy, you're just obsessed with achieving the goal, then you might be making a big mistake. Like, so take money, for example. Money is a goal for many people. Now, if in the process of getting money, your life is miserable and you'll do anything and cheat anyone to just stay up all night to get that money because you need to get the money to be happy, like some people are think, then your life stinks. But if on the other hand, the goal is maybe to make money in order to give charity or whatever, for in order to be happy, then you need to think, but I have to be happy on the journey towards it. Because the goal is happy. Why would I throw away happiness to make happiness? You know, the goal is to be happy, and if I keep that in mind, then as I'm journeying towards whatever I'm doing, I can be keep focus on being happy and being, you know, and not sacrifice my happiness for achieving the goal. Yeah? So that, for me personally, that I find that to be such an important thing to remind me of all the time. For example, when I prepare shirim, so many times I catch myself in my goal to get it over with, to be done with it, so that I can, you know, then have the source sheet prepared, so I can get to the goal of taking care of my other errands and chores in my life and, you know, eventually teach the shir, which I know I enjoy, which is fine sometimes. But if I realize, like, no, giving the shir will give me a temporary spike in happiness. It'll be sweet. It'll be nice. But how long is the shir going to be? An hour? But how long am I preparing for this, for the shir? For me, sometimes it takes me 20 hours.
And if you could be happy in that,
exactly, that's 20 hours of happiness, exactly,
and a spark at the end,
exactly. I need to constantly remind myself: don't just read this book to get it over with, in an unhappy checkbook type of way, like in school. But
enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride.
After the destination in mind, but also enjoy the journey.
Right, and so often in life, we get so caught in these habits of get it done, prepare for shopping. Even spiritual goals, you know, learn the daf, finish the chumash, do my daf. And it's like, yeah, you want to make a siyum, but like, the goal of the siyum is to get you to learn the Gemara. It's not the goal of the Gemara is to get the siyum. So, enjoy what you're doing, and then the goal has.
It's almost similar to buying a counterfeit degree.
Right.
So you want to be a doctor, right? So you buy a degree, stare on that wall, you are now a doctor. What's his name?
Right.
But you missed out on the whole journey. So everybody will now say, wow, you're the doctor and you feel good and so on, but you missed out on the whole...
The whole person actually learning the information.
Yeah, you haven't learned a single thing. You better not go and practice as a doctor, because you can have it up there, but you never got all the advantages of actually studying for 7 years and learning about the body and all those type of things. And so
exactly. So here too, so the goal is happiness, so use the goal to motivate. Now, one final point, and then we'll conclude this little shear. So, at the same time, while the goal is just there to motivate us to achieve and to be happy in the process of getting it there, it's important what goals you set for yourself. Meaning, not all goals are the same. So, for example, as you pointed out, if materialism as the goal of life, just about money, is proven already now to not lead towards real deep happiness. And they've done many studies comparing people who have a materialistic state of life versus spiritual states of life, you know, goals in life. And generally, the materialistic people are far less happy. And it doesn't lead to real, real long-term joy. So, thank God, if you're a Jew, you have certain goals. And if you're a believing Jew, in other words, you have certain goals which you automatically believe in and it's kind of like set out before you wake up every day and daven and whatever, learn and keep the mitzvahs. But besides for that, it is important for a person to set their own goals, I believe. At least it will help many people. So then how do you know what goals to set for yourself, both on a daily level and on a global level? So the way that Tal Shachar puts it is, it needs to be self-concordant goals, which means goals that come from you, goals that you deeply want to pursue. When you're pursuing goals that you really want to pursue, that you're really excited right now, then you're happy. But when you're pursuing goals which were forced upon you, then you don't really enjoy that process. Okay. So high school is a great example of that.
Sure.
Right? You're pursuing all these goals, to finish the math test and the bio and this and that, but nobody asked you. And do you really care? And maybe if you thought about it, you went through that process, you might actually come to a place of caring.
Yeah.
Well, I do need a degree. I want to finish this because I actually, there's value in this. But that's not how it's framed. Yeah. It's just like, you need to do it. Because you're in school and I'm the parent and we're going to kick you. But, and then you have these unhappy people because they're dedicating their lives to something they don't care about. And they're not going to do it as well. They're going to take shortcuts. So it's important to have goals that you identify with, that you are excited about. And I really like the way that Ohed Kamin, who's a philosopher and he was a Tal Shachar's professor, he says like this. So how do I figure out what my goals are? His life is short. First ask yourself, what can you do? Then, what do you want to do? Then, what do you really, really want to do? Then do it. I like that.
That's simple.
Yeah.
You know, if,
but it takes that process. Mm-hmm. Not everyone does that. And I think it's often a process that needs to be revisited over and over and over again, which is checking in with yourself. What do I really want to do right now, today? If I have a million different ideas flashing through my head and I can't do them all. And I know if I try to do everything, I'm going to fail. So instead, I need to ask myself once in a while, and you're having a cheshbon nefesh, you know, once a month, or Mesilas Charms is every day, really, and ask myself, what are my goals that I'm really excited about pursuing today? Now, not everyone's like me. I'm a very goal-oriented person. When I have a mission that particular day, it excites me. It gives me passion. That's why, for me, what I did this morning is I put up my, like, 5 goals I'm working on today.
Okay.
Like, besides from, like, you know, davening and learning and functioning human being, I have my, like, extra things that are my purpose in life. And, like, these are things that I really want to do right now. I'm just excited about it. So it's like, I want to slow down. I want to go slower. I want to run every day. Because I'm part of my Simcha seminar last week. Every week we have a new practice, and this week was exercising, and I learned about the benefits of exercise. So I'm running every day. I want to say hamapio before I go to bed at night. I want to be careful with my keys not to lose it, and I want to journal in my gratitude journal. You know, for whatever reason, it's part of my class. But the main thing is to make goals that you really want to do on a global level and also on a daily level. So I would even like maybe encourage people to find a way to every single day, either before they go to bed or when they wake up in the morning, ask yourself, what are my goals that I really want to achieve? And then remind yourself, though, that it's not about achieving the goal. It's not about the check.
Yes, it's about doing.
It's about the process of growing and going towards. It's very hard, you know? Like, sometimes it's a very hard goal and you really want to achieve it and you don't know how to, and it's really frustrating. So, like, you get stuck up and, like, I just want it achieved already, which is natural. But we need to remember that even the goal itself, it's ultimately to bring us happiness. So why sacrifice my current happiness now to get happiness later? Like, no. Enjoy, try to not be unhappy in the process of getting there. You know?
I wonder if it's okay if you... Well, firstly, I want to also add that it would be nice to make a list of everything you do during the day and scratch out the stuff that you don't actually want to
for
do.
Sure, for sure.
Because there's things that are thrown onto you like a monkey on your back type of thing, that almost takes the joy out of you and also steals your time from doing the things that you really, 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 really want to do, and for us as Jews have to do, so that we don't get to that. So we're busy with activities that we actually don't want to do.
Right.
And I think it's also okay to stop a goal. So if this is your goal that you decided, and now you're working towards this goal, but before you reach it, to stop it and say, but this is no longer my goal, this is now my goal, and so what if I'm not going to achieve it? Because it's not about that tick checkbox at the end. Because we sometimes we tell ourselves, no, we can't give up, and we have to see it to the end. You have to achieve the goal at least. But it's a lot of times that's just rubbish, because if it's true that it's the activity, not only the checkbox at the end, then it should be okay to somewhere along the line.
Right.
If you realize that this is the wrong path I'm on, or the wrong activity, it sounded good in the beginning, it was a good goal at that stage, but now it's not. And then stop it halfway, and then change direction.
Exactly. Because the goal of the goal is to move you and not for the goal itself. Now, there are times in life when there are exceptional situations. Every situation is different. Sometimes my goal is to be a good mother, but I'm not feeling motivated to be a good mother today. But you know what? You stick it through anyway.
That's a result of a decision you made.
Right. And there are obligations. We can't say
that's an obligation. That's not a goal. Already.
Right. There are obligations, and as a Jew, there are many obligations, and we can't say that it's all only things. But there are things that people think, like you said, they thought you had to do, but really don't. Maybe you thought you had to cook every day, and you don't. You can just get takeout or whatever. For sure, we should be reassessing and asking and cutting things out of our life, like you said, so that we can focus on the things we really want to achieve, and not not do it out of guilt or external pressure.
Because we get trapped into activities quite easily. And sometimes, why am I doing? Back to your very first question, what is the purpose and why? Why am I doing this, and what's my role here? So sometimes you could be on a path, and all it does is it succeeds in keeping you busy.
Right.
That's all it does. You're just busy.
Right.
And you just get to
the real things, right? For me personally, it helps me very much to make a to-do list to focus me on what is my goal? Especially with WhatsApps and this and that, it can get overwhelming with these little things that feel like momentary highs because you get something done.
Yes.
But ultimately, what is it all about so that I can enjoy that process? And so Bezrat Hashem, Hashem should bless us to keep our eye on the prize, but enjoy the journey. Mm. That's the way that I like, that's like my mantra. You want to win the game, but enjoy the game. And that's easy.
Enjoy playing.
Enjoy the game, especially for the hard things in life, because it's a game. I'm talking about the really hard things in life, also that we should enjoy the journey and the story and the drama and the choices that we have to make, which are sometimes uncomfortable, but don't get too caught up in your own brain. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Don't be worried about, I'll be happy when I get married. No, enjoy that process of going on the date. Right. There'll be more goals to attain. There'll be more things, and that's great. If you're always having meaningful goals that you identify with, then you'll have a beautiful life. And that's the key to happiness. Please, God.
And Hashem has created us to